How many people were in the session yesterday where we talked about, holy smokes, okay. So we don't need to review anything because everybody's here. That's fantastic. Well, hey, thanks for coming back. Appreciate that. Again, glad to be here in Australia. My wife, I was trying to pull up a photo real quick, but I couldn't get it going in time. But my wife actually went to, what was the place called again? I don't remember what it was. Yeah, it was some wildlife refuge or something, and she got to hold a koala.
Yeah,
so she got to hold a koala, and so my three-year-old back at home was like, Mommy, bring that home, and I was like, we have enough pets. It's like, number one, we have too many pets. Number two, I'm pretty sure we would probably get in some wildlife trouble there, so not going to do that. So anyway, today we're going to kind of continue the discussion we had yesterday about how to get Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection implemented / trial, because it's kind of like, how many people in here have worked with Advanced Threat Analytics before? Okay, ATA, it's also called. Okay. This is kind of like Advanced Threat Analytics, is that you get the most kind of kicking the tires feeling when you actually put it on real machines. And the cool thing about this is that it runs so silently that the user will never know that it's running on their machine, which is a bit nefarious. But hey, we have to be monitoring at all times. So my friend Paul here, colleague Paul here, stand up, Paul. So Paul's one of your local TSPs, and so he's going to kind of be helping me with the presentation and talking a little bit about how you can get help implementing or trialing this. So away we go. Okay, so just a quick review for the folks that didn't make it yesterday. So we're talking about Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection. Now, it has the word Defender in it, right? So a lot of people immediately think that it's an antivirus solution when, in fact, it's not. Defender Advanced Threat Protection is a post-breach solution. So I like to think of it as the last line of detection. So when all else fails or when all else misses to catch something, then Defender ATP tells you how it got in, what it is, and where it's going. And those are the three key things that you need to answer whenever you have a post-breach type scenario or incident response scenario. The great thing is that it's built into Windows 10 1607 Anniversary Edition. So if there's no agent to deploy or anything like that, we're actually going to go through the configuration script that's required to light this up. But the great news is you can go ahead with your 1607 deployment and then push a GPO or a ConfigMan or an Intune package after the fact and light it up and have it talk to your cloud tenant. So it's super easy to deploy. And it's also very, very lightweight and sensitive to system performance. So because it's built into Windows, the Windows performance team governs whether it gets to ship or not. And that's depending on how performant it is and how respectful it is of things like battery life and paid networks and things like that. So it's super, super tuned to not be interferent. The other thing is, too, it's serviced by the Windows servicing stack. So as we have fixes or enhancements and things like that, it just rolls into the same updates. So no separate deployment for agents or anything like that. It is really managed as a single cohesive unit inside of Windows 10. Next, you know, we strive to really cut down the amount of false negatives and false positives. And the reason for that is because if you have a noisy product, you'll never pay attention to it. And I think that there's a super, super hard challenge with security and even IT admins that play, you know, that wear the security admin hat as well. It's tricky, right? Because you're tasked to find everything. If you don't find everything, then you're in trouble. But at the same time, you have to look at everything. And there's millions and millions of events to look at sometimes per day. And that's virtually impossible to do. And to miss things in that stack is pretty tough. So we try to cut through all the noise, surface the most stuff up, prioritize for you, and let you work it end to end. The next thing is that it's not just a tool for alerting, and that's where it stops. That's actually where it kind of begins. So once you get the alert, you can kind of go inside inside the tool, look through it, see where it came in, see where it went, get some more information using our threat intelligence, et cetera. So it's not just an alerting tool. It's also an exploratory and starting in Creators Update, it will be a response tool as well. And finally, it's a single pane of glass. So if you do use Defender Antivirus, and you use Defender ATP, you actually get a single console that shows you both antivirus threats as well as things that antivirus may have missed. So it's in a single pane of glass, and then all your exploration and things like that happen through that single pane of glass as well. Here's the high-level architecture. We talked a little bit about that today, yesterday. So the pieces that have the cloud in it are actually running in Azure. So this is the cloud analytics tier is an Azure service. So it runs on top of Azure. So starting from left to right here, in the upper right, you have kind of the endpoint. That's the Windows 10 computer. And it has an agent on it called MS Sense. You'll see that as the process. It's a hardened process. It's a hardened service, a protected service in Windows 10. So it's very hard to beat. And then next, you kind of have the SecOps console, and that's the WDATP, Defender ATP console that the SecOps or IT admins go in and explore the different alerts and do their forensic analysis, et cetera. And that can be fed into a SIEM. Right now, we support ArcSight, and we support Splunk. QRadar is shortly behind, and then it's also an open API, so if you don't have one of those three, you can plug it into the API and go from there. So that's kind of on the non, you know, cloud part. So in the middle of this is essentially where the heart and soul of Windows Defender ATP is, and that's where all the security analytics happens. So we purposely don't put a lot of the behavioral monitoring and things like that or behavioral rules in the agent. Does anybody know why we don't put it actually in the Sense agent? Take a guess. I'm sorry?
Too intensive?
Yeah, too intensive. But also, if you own the box, guess what else you own? Our logic, right? So that's bad. So yeah, we shouldn't definitely put our business logic or our detection logic in there because, yeah, absolutely, it's too heavy. And if an adversary was to get a piece of Windows 10 1607, which they probably have, we don't want them to be able to reverse engineer and know all of our indicators of attack and compromise signals. This is also where we do the files detonation. And this file and URL detonations is actually shared amongst Office ATP as well. So it's all kind of happening in one big happy family. Into the security analytics tier, we have our threat intelligence from partnerships. One of those partnerships is FireEye EyeSight. So when you subscribe to Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection, you also get the IOCs and threat intelligence from FireEye EyeSight as well. And then you also have our threat hunters. So we have over 100 people working on Windows Defender ATP. And that's from a development perspective, a threat hunting perspective, et cetera. It's also fed both ways by our boots on the ground consulting services and Premier organization. It's also fed out to our digital crimes unit to try to go prosecute people as well. And then the APT under, yeah, I talked about that. Okay. So that's kind of the architecture. Any questions about this so far? Kind of stop and... And you don't have to find a mic. You can just yell at me, and I'll repeat the question. Okay. Okay, so let's talk about, now that we kind of understand the baseline of what Defender ATP is, let's talk about how to get signed up. And I think what you'll realize in this session is that it's pretty easy to stand up. I think the hardest part is just getting 1607 out there, right? So the first thing you do is if you want to get a trial going, so you don't own the licenses today, you don't own Windows Enterprise E5, that's the required license for it, then you can go to this website right here and fill out some basic information. And basically it's just going to ask you for your first name, last name, your company information, a contact phone number, and email. Make sure you put a real email address in there because that's what we're going to contact you with. So no guerrilla mail, none of that action, right? And then step two, and so essentially what happens is that request goes into our processing team, and the processing team kind of goes through, and then they get the tenant kind of spun up on the background. That goes through a process because it's an isolated tenant just for you. So there's some stand-up that we have to do in the background, et cetera. And so once we stand that up, we send you an email that looks a lot like this. It says, hey, let me know what your Azure Active Directory tenant is. If you have an existing one, you can tell us what the existing one is. But if you don't have one, you can stand one up for free. So Azure Active Directory base free, there's a free edition for it. So you can stand that up. But Azure Active Directory, much like Intune, much like Azure Information Protection, et cetera, and Office 365, Azure Active Directory is our identity service for this service. And then once we get that information, then we give you a welcome email with the user ID that has access. And then you go to securitycenter.windows.com, and you type in your info, and away you go. And so once you go into the portal, after you sign in, there's a preferences tab here. And you have to set up some basic information. That is impossible to see, so I'll just tell you what it says. Up here in the upper left, storage location, that's where you tell us whether you want it in the United States or you want it in Europe. Okay. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. I would really like to see an Australia mark up there. So keep the feedback coming, keep your interest coming, and I'll be your champion. How much data retention you want to store? So we store up to 180 days, not 120, 180 days. Right? I was stuck on 120 yesterday. We all know the humidity affected me yesterday, so it's not my fault. And then just some general information about, organization size, so we kind of know the initial footprint to kind of set up in the tenant. Again, it's in the cloud, so it's elastic, but if we know kind of how big you're expecting, et cetera, we can kind of get you started at the right size so it doesn't have to expand out straight away. And then finally, just some basic industry information. And that's basically the setup of the tenant. Pretty easy, okay? So the next point you want to do, you need anniversary edition 1607, okay? No 1511 or anything like that. It can be Enterprise Education Pro, Pro Education, or IoT Enterprise. I failed to put that on the slide. It has to be one of those versions. So if it's IoT or something like that, then or home, it can't be that. It has to have internet connectivity from the endpoint, okay? Now, sometimes people will kind of freak out about this, especially now that we're kind of talking about getting into the server world, but there's a lot of stuff you can do around proxying. So when we do release our server information, you'll be able to proxy it through a single proxy, but you can do that with clients today, okay? So there are some proxy documentation. I think I have it in the slide. But the clients do need internet connectivity. So why do they need internet connectivity? To talk to our cloud, okay? What's an advantage about this is that these clients, no matter where they are, either inside your network or outside your network, and outside is pretty important, they're going to be talking to our cloud analytics tier. So even if they get owned while they're at Starbucks or I shouldn't say names, in a third-party coffee shop, not saying that Starbucks gets people owned. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, you know, at your favorite coffee place. Sorry, Starbucks. So if they get owned outside, at least you still get the traffic. In fact, one case that I was involved in, that's exactly what happened. The person was actually in a hotel room half across the world and got owned. It was a corporate asset. So, but even before they got off the plane to come back into the organization, we had already known that they got owned, and we essentially contacted them straight away and said, "Hey, you downloaded this, didn't you?" "Yes." "You did it on this day and this time, didn't you?" "Yeah." Okay, that's bad, you know, please, come by the IT office and let's take care of you. So that's pretty cool. Okay, the telemetry service. So this is something we get a lot of questions about. They're like, "Hey, Jake, man, you know, I want to use Defender ATP, but I don't want to turn telemetry up full blast." It's like, well, guess what? You don't have to turn up telemetry full blast. The only thing you cannot do is you cannot disable the services in MSC. So in other words, don't do a GPO that turns off the telemetry service through services MSC. Why is that bad? Because we're using the universal telemetry channel or UTC channel to communicate back to the cloud. And we did that intentionally. The data is actually, it rides kind of alongside of the normal telemetry data, but we fork it off to go to our Defender ATP cloud separately. But the reason why we use this is because this telemetry service has been tuned to Windows. So it knows when you're on battery. It knows when you're on a paid Wi-Fi. It knows those things, so it can throttle while you're in that condition. And then when you get back to the hotel or whatever and you have free Wi-Fi, you plug in and away it goes. So that's why we're using that UTC channel, and that's why you shouldn't disable the service. We give you a lot of different ways to turn down the telemetry for non-Defender ATP stuff. Just don't disable the service. Yes, sir? Yeah, good question. So if the attacker disables the services, you will see that they disabled the service, right? Because it's like a black box flight recorder. So essentially, as they're going along, you'll see kind of them kind of fishing around a little bit, and then boom, it'll be gone. The telemetry service is actually, is it a protected service, Paul? I can't remember if it's protected or not.
My sincere apologies. I was reading
that. Oh, is the universal telemetry service, is it a protected service? I can't remember. It is a protected service? Okay, so it's pretty tough to disable that. Yeah. Yeah. Yes?
And there's mechanisms to keep an eye on. If devices start getting unenrolled, we keep an eye on those numbers if it goes up and down.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry, we've got a GPO, which sets the telemetry information to basic.
Yep.
What level would you need to have it at? Is it security only or basic? Or
you can have it at any of those. Yeah. Yeah, as long as you don't nuke that service, that's, yeah, yeah. No, good question. Yeah, and the Defender service is actually hardened as well, much like the Defender AV service, and it's actually pretty hard to disable. You have to get pretty tricky in order to get it disabled. But the good news is that any script they do or anything like that, because of our reporting interval, is fairly quick, and we prioritize some over the other, we'll actually see them disabling the service, so you'll know straight away, even if they do. Okay, so to get these clients onto the cloud, essentially what you do is you export through the portal a configuration script. And I'm going to show you all this here in a minute. Let's just kind of give you some background here. But you can push the onboarding script through ConfigMan. You can push it through Intune. And in fact, that's the two mechanisms we're doing that inside of Microsoft. We're actually doing those two there. You might wonder, well, why Intune? Well, that's for advanced management or Windows 10, right? So for the users or the certain profiles that never hardwired to the network, maybe they are using only SaaS services, you can push it through Intune so they can Azure AD join, be managed by Intune, and then get configured as well. You can do it through GPO or a good old-fashioned local script if you want to. So all those things are fair game. Here's how you export the actual package file, and there's an offboarding package as well. But these, and I'll go in here and show you what this looks like, but essentially you just save this package down, and then depending on what option you pick there, you put that package into ConfigMan or Intune, and then or GPO, and let it rip. You know, for offboarding, you know, you don't have to offboard. Like if a client gets nuked or something like that, or wiped, obviously you won't have the option to endpoint offboard, but at least the data will still be in there, but that's just a graceful way to kind of get it off the network. One question we usually get right here is, well, what happens if the attacker gets the offboard script? Okay, number one, don't store the offboard script on the host. Okay, that's rule number one. Number two, they're actually time bombed and they're signed, right? So it would be highly irregular for an attacker to be able to forge one of those and offboard the client. You'd have a better chance of offboarding a client if the file was actually on the host. So don't put it on the host. Okay, don't do that. Okay. So any questions before I kind of dive into how this works in real life? That was kind of slide world. Okay, let's go into real world. Cool. Okay. Let me make sure I go to the right tenant here. Nope, that's not the right tenant. I have a play tenant up here for us if we have enough time, and we'll go through some interesting things if we have some time here. Okay, cool. So what I'll show you today is Configuration Manager, because I figure you all are probably using Configuration Manager. If you're not, then GPO and script works just fine. That's a lot more straightforward. We actually have documentation that shows you how to do all of these. Okay, cool. So what we do is we, inside of our tenant, we go over here to Endpoint Onboarding, and we select Configuration Manager, and then Download Package. And the package file is actually quite small. It's 4K, so not too big. It's like in a zip file. And it looks like, nope, not that. Let's go here. It looks like, hey. Oh, where'd I put it? I hid it from myself. I remember where I put it now. Sorry. Humidity. Here it is right here, this .onboarding file, okay? So in the, I know what I did wrong, okay. So on the onboarding file, what we do is we go in here into Configuration Manager, and if you're running the current build of Configuration Manager, you probably noticed under Assets and Compliance, you probably noticed this little Windows Defender ATP node pop up here. Essentially, that's how you deploy it. So all we do is we say, right-click create or create up there, ATP policy. Name it something. Onboarding or offboarding. And then the configuration file. So I'll just load this configuration file that I downloaded off the portal. Next. And then so this is important. Specify which file samples are shared for analysis by the Windows ATP online service. So we talked a little bit about file collection yesterday. So you can, in the portal, you can go and kick off a file collection, and it'll pull the file up from the host, do detonation in the cloud, and give you kind of a forensic analysis of the file. This is where you can universally disable that if you're not cool with it. Okay, there's just some companies that are like, hey, you know, we have some intellectual property in some of the programs that we run. We don't really want that stuff up in the cloud, so no forensic package. We'd rather do the forensic on-prem. That's cool. That's how you disable it. Okay. So you would set it to none. In this case, all file types. I'm cool with that. Summary, and then you click next. Okay, I already did that, so we'll cancel out. So then you get this this policy here, and this is a compliance policy. So at that point, you just deploy it to a collection, and that's it. And so at the next compliance interval, the client will pick it up and process it, and then onboard. Okay, it's really that easy. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. And then once you onboard them, you can go down to monitoring here, and we actually have a dashboard that shows healthy, inactive, agent stopped, not onboarded, things like that. So we actually have a dashboard built so you can track it. Yes, sir?
Can you install anything? Because I have the SCCM 16 10 and I've never seen this one.
You haven't seen the little shield up there before? It should be 16.10, yeah. It should be in there, yeah.
I think you need to know it's going to be
on the I'm sorry?
I think you need to know it's going to
be on the Oh, do you? Okay, okay. Oh, okay. That's good to know. Okay. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, thanks for that. So for the recording, you have to enable the feature in ConfigMan. So, yeah. Okay, cool. Cool. Oh, the part where it was talking about file collection?
Yeah,
so that is... So in Defender Advanced Threat Protection, we have the ability to do in-cloud detonation. So let me use an example here. Okay, so this one. So this is a port scanning tool, for example, okay? And it's called sl.exe. So in here, what I can do is for this file, I can actually submit it up to the cloud for analysis. And what that does is our service goes, touches the client, grabs that file, and then brings it up into some instrumented VMs in the cloud, and then we run it with a bunch of instrumentation, and it actually profiles it to give you data like, that wasn't a very good example. it gives you no busy behaviors, but essentially, I'll pick a better one. Hang on. I think NeuroBlaze has a good one on here. I think it's Systebugger, I think we have one for. But essentially what it does is it implodes it in the cloud and then gives you the forensic data. Yeah, here we go. So now it says, hey, this is all the IPs it talked to, etc. So that what that option does is basically allow you to disable somebody from being able to do this in the portal. And that's for people that just don't want to do detonation in the cloud. They'd rather do detonation on-prem. That's cool. Good questions. Okay, cool. And so, yeah, that's how you onboard a client. I mean, pretty self-explanatory. Like I said, getting 1607 out there is kind of the biggest hurdle. And then once you have it out there, then onboarding's a cinch. Okay, and then finally, you put on some finishing touches. So right now, we have two roles that you can have. There's a read-write access and there's a read-only access. So for your SOC and those types of folks, they probably have read-write access. And then for maybe like a help desk or a tier one of your SOC or just, you know, tier one IT pro, will probably want read-only. And this is right out of TechNet. You can go in here and kick off these PowerShell scripts to do it. Essentially, the key is that anybody that has security administrator or global administrator, they have read-write. Anybody that has security reader will have read-only. Okay, and read-only basically means that they can't change any of the alerts. They can't take actions on the files or the machines and things like that. That's what that means. Okay. You can set up email alerts. So some cool things that I've seen around that. is that people will configure this to go into like a monitored mailbox. So if you're not using a SEM or you don't want to plug this into your SEM, you can have this go into like a mailbox that your like helpdesk@jake.com or something like that. And then your ticketing system can actually pick it up and create new tickets for maybe tier one help desk to go work or something like that. So that's one way you can do that. Of course, you can plug it into your SEM as well. I think actually I talk about that next. Yep. So we have REST APIs for the SEM to plug into. Like I mentioned, we support ArcSight and Splunk today, but it is an open API, so you can query it. On TechNet, we have all the documentation on how to get your SEM plugged in. And that's really just for the alert data. We're not sending all the full details down as of today. Okay. So any questions about onboarding or anything like that? Like I said, it's fairly straightforward on how to get clients on this. Yes? So when you onboard, can you set like you can with like Defender AV, like when it scans and stuff like that? No, and the reason why is because this is like a black box flight recorder; it's always running, so it's always sending data and things like that. Now, we will cache data and things like that when they're like on a plane with no connectivity and things like that, but it's not an on demand type scan; it's an always running thing. Yeah. Yes. Endpoint protection. How does it work with endpoint protection? So the question is, how does it work with System Center endpoint protection? They actually work quite well together. So System Center endpoint protection is pre-breach, right? So that's trying to catch the nasty, you know, tools and viruses and what new holiday card app is going to come out next, you know? So that's catching that kind of stuff. Defender ATP is if SCEP misses it, then Defender ATP will read it and forensically log it, et cetera. Now, what's cool is that as long as you have maps enabled for SCEP or Defender AV, those alerts will actually show up in the portal, let me show you real quick what that looks like. There's a lot of data in this tenant. Okay, so this is a tenant that we use internally. I'd just like to make mention here. I own this box right here, Windows 10. That's a box running in my environment. And you'll notice who has the most alerts, right? Okay, it's kind of an achievement, man. I have like more than anybody else. That's a bad thing, actually. So I'm waiting for them to call me and be like, Jake, what are you doing on this machine? So today, you see this? So you see kind of the difference between these two? It's more like this. So this one here is actually detected with Windows Defender AV. This one here was detected, was missed by Defender AV because I disabled it. But this one, through GPO, I didn't do anything funny, no funny business. I disabled it in GPO. But that one was actually caught with ATP. So that's kind of the pre-breach, post-breach working in concert. Yeah. And that's what's cool about that single pane of glass is that now, you know, if the person kind of has a long line of history of bubbling up on the AV reports, you can kind of get everything in a single pane of glass here and have the relevant discussion. Yeah. So the question, make sure I got your question. Could we tell the difference between?
Let's say, because if the device is on and the attacker found a way to avoid or to breach the communication between the black box and Microsoft, how would you know the device is on? Or is it just not off?
Yeah, good question. So you'd see that in ConfigMan, right? It'd be checking back with ConfigMan and things like that.
The client is away for a conference or 4 months or something.
Yeah, sure. You wouldn't be able to tell in Defender, right, because they disabled it. If you're not doing any kind of internet connection points with ConfigMan, you wouldn't see it. So the only time you'd be able to see it is if...
they connect back to the domain or something.
Yeah, so if they connect back...
The client is online, but it's not talking.
Yeah. So in that case, okay, let's play that scenario because that's an interesting one, right? So I own Jake the VP. Paul the VP. Right, I'm never going to get that statue. Paul the vice president of the company goes out to... I can't pick a good country because everybody's going to be like, boo, you know, if they're from there. So they go to North Korea, okay. For the tape, somebody said that in the crowd. So the person goes to North Korea, and the person's box gets owned, okay? They know they're running Defender, so they shut off the UTC service, or they figure out a way to kill off Defender, okay? At this point, the attacker owns the machine, but the machine is not on the corporate network. They're on a public Wi-Fi. But then the attacker initiates a VPN back in, okay? So then the attacker VPNs the machine right back in and is able to get connectivity, let's just assume, and then they laterally move from that machine to another machine, and then they start kind of their kill chain from there. Advanced Threat Analytics will find them. So if you haven't checked out Advanced Threat Analytics, remember, guys, security is in layers, right? Whenever I talk to customers about security, I say, oh, great, what are you using for this? Okay, if that gets beat, what are you using for this? Just that's kind of how you always have to think, or how I like to think, is think about if they beat this, then what? If they beat this, then what? And so on and so forth. And ATA is actually a great tool to be the last line of defense. Yes, sir?
I was curious with the integration of integration with ATA, but can you use OMS as a single pane for both ATA and ATP?
Yeah, good question. So the question is, can you use OMS as a single pane of glass for both ATA and ATP? I know ATA can talk to OMS today. ATP could, if you wanted it to, because it does log, or the event log has some logs and things like that. But I think our long-term plan is to have ATA and ATP talk to each other. Okay, so I showed a little bit of that yesterday, where you can basically click on a user in Defender ATP, and it takes you into ATA. So the plan is for them both to kind of talk to each other. Now, if you have a SEM and you're not using OMS as your SEM, then you would see it together in there. But as far as plans to get Defender ATP into OMS, I'm not aware of any, but that doesn't mean it's not happening. Okay, cool. That's a good point. Anyone else? Okay. Okay, so let's talk about some frequently asked questions. And we kind of went through some of these yesterday, so I stole from my own deck. So the question is, I cheated to show you the answer, is Windows Defender antivirus required? Okay. No, but it enhances the experience. So let me drill a little bit deeper into that. So when we built Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection, we knew that people would be using a third-party antivirus, maybe, you know, for the short term or maybe forever. Don't know. Okay. So we actually designed the service to where it can run coinciding with a third-party antivirus. So that's no problem. Okay. If you run Defender antivirus alongside of Windows ATP, Defender ATP, you get some behavior or some reporting benefit, as I showed you a minute ago. So if you're running a third-party AV, it would not be able to report into Defender ATP, but a Defender AV would. Okay. How many people have seen the recent tests of Defender AV? I think it released in December. Yeah. Okay. You don't count. Yeah. So it's if you haven't looked at it, in December there was what is it, AV test? Is that who does it, AV test? So AV test did a test of Defender AV along with the other ones, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised on where we are. We've worked really, really hard for the last year and a half to climb that mountain, and we're pretty proud of where we are today. So if you haven't looked at it, take a look at it. It's pretty cool. Yeah. Oh, okay. So these are some of the things. I talked about integrated alerting, but also block files. So if you have Defender AV turned on and you also have cloud protection or block it for site turned on, if you block it in the Defender ATP portal, it talks back up to the cloud for your block it for site cloud tenant, and it says, hey, don't let this run anywhere in my environment. And so whenever the next client goes to try to run it, it actually gets blocked. So you do have to have Defender AV running in active mode for that to work. So this goes back to something I said yesterday, which is don't disable the Defender AV services.msc service. Please don't do that, because you're going to lose out on all these benefits, even if it's not your current AV. There's really no reason to do it, right? It goes into passive mode anyway. We talked about this one already. Do I have to crank up full telemetry? No, you don't have to do that, but don't disable the service. So we talked about that. Will this work with Windows 10 build 1511? Okay. What's the answer to this one? No. Yeah, no. Anniversary is required. You guys are getting good. Somebody else is going to come up present here in a minute. It's good. Is my cloud tenant shared? No, it is your private tenant. And that's why there's a little bit delay when you actually go and sign up for the trial and things, because we're standing up a tenant for you. So it's for your company. So and it follows all the ISO 27001 protocols and controls for your tenant as well. It is running in Azure, so the fabric underneath may be shared, yes, because it's public cloud, but the tenant itself is yours. What makes you the best EDR? Well, since you asked. So, you know, these are some of the things that we're super proud of, right? So I talked about this. We're built in, not bolted on. So there's no agent to deploy. There's no agent to maintain. It's all built into Windows 10. Best TCO. So there's no, like, appliance to deploy internally. There's no agent deployment and things like that. So essentially, if you get to 1607 or you're already on it, you light this up and you're good to go. In fact, I actually onboarded to do that demo with the dashboard there. I did that in my hotel room this morning. I mean, so I deployed two 1607 brand new machines. I configured ConfigMan, got pushed out. Thanks, Jeff, for the help. And then we were on our way. So our threat intelligence is quite good. Does anybody read any of the SIR reports that we release every half year or quarter? I think it's quarter. That talk about kind of what the threat landscape looks like and things like that. Those reports are actually really good. It talks about some of the stuff we talked about yesterday, like Strontium. So it talks about the different groups that we're tracking and what they're doing and the behaviors and the techniques that they're using and some of the things that we're looking at in terms of how to defend ourselves and you all, et cetera. So it's a good report. It's SIR, SIR report. And then the integration to end-to-end story, right? So we talked about this yesterday, where, you know, phishing attacks are very, very popular. People, you know, sending in spear phishing attacks and using that human element of urgency to get in. So we can see that with Office ATP. And then if they own the identity, so in other words, they steal the credentials and they're moving around and things like that, we will have the integration with ATA as well. So what now? Sign up for a trial. So it doesn't cost you anything. You just go sign up for the trial. You onboard some clients, and you can give us feedback. It's pretty straightforward to do. Again, this is kind of where you sign up for the trial. Here's the site for the resources on Windows Defender ATP. And then also, we have an MSIT case study. So I mentioned this yesterday, but we have... here, I'll move out of the way for your pictures. It's the witness protection. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not witness. So for the case study, we actually have MSIT, our internal IT group, uses this on over 500,000 endpoints. So it tiers or it scales out with the best of them. But they basically talk about, like, what they were doing before. It's actually a fascinating read. They talk about how we run ArcSight internally. They talk about what that was like kind of before Defender ATP and then now what ATP has kind of done for them. The great thing is they were very instrumental to kind of shaping the product too, which is pretty interesting. Okay, so Paul, I'll kind of hand this off to you, but what we thought it might be kind of cool to kind of put a local name with a face. Oh, man.
That's all right.
Let's go back to that.
So I just wanted to take, I just wanted to copy you and do a shameless plug in your session here.
Yeah, cool.
So we have five Windows TSPs here in Australia, and four of us is currently here. So please do, after the session or tomorrow, come down and find us if you need a hand with setting up a trial. We work on deploying Windows 10 in enterprise, government, and public sector. But we also support small, medium business. So please do feel free to come down if you find us and chase us down, and we can set up our one-to-one with you.
Got a little auto advance on the slide there. Yeah, so anyway. So that's kind of the end of the content. There's the slide I think you've seen pretty much in everything. There's another slide you've probably seen every day. And then don't forget your wristbands for the Spark After Dark. But that's how you onboard to ATP. That's how you get going. I'm open for questions. I'll stay here as long as y'all want or until they throw me out. So thanks for coming as the official end of the session. Thanks for coming.